Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sake Revolution. This is America's first sake podcast, and I'm one of your hosts. My name is John Puma. I'm from the Sake Notes. I'm also the guy who manages the internet's sake Discord, as well as Reddit's r/sake community.
And I'm your host, Timothy Sullivan. I'm a sake samurai, I'm a sake educator, as well as the founder of the Urban Sake website. And every week, John and I will be here tasting and chatting about all things sake, and doing our best to make it fun and easy to understand.
Hello, Tim. How are you today?
Hello, John. We always try to make things fun, don't we? But yeah. Our topic for this week is not especially fun.
No, it's not fun, unfortunately. But I do think that sometimes you do need to take a step back. And I think we need to, we have a voice and we have people who tune into our show every week in times of concern. You need to use your voice to draw attention to bad things that happen. And give people the power to help make them better.
Yeah. Today we're going to be talking about the earthquake that happened in Japan on New Year's Day. Yes. And that was all over the news on New Year's Day. But one thing that concerns me is that it's really fallen off the radar of the states. And we just wanted to do an episode that was focused on the severe impact of this earthquake on the sake brewing industry, especially in Ishikawa. Yes. And yes. It's just not getting enough coverage in my book.
No, I think that for a lot of people, after the 2011 earthquake, it's anything that's not with potentially exploding nuclear reactors and tsunamis, it doesn't get the press. It's not as exciting to talk about, but the destruction is still real and the people's lives are still affected. And obviously in the case of these breweries, the livelihood of a lot of people has been endangered.
Yeah, and this is a region of Japan that you and I have talked about many times. It's a very well-known sake brewing region that was the actual epicenter of this earthquake. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to devote this episode to informing people out there about what happened, the extent of the damage to the sake industry. We also want to profile a sake and one of the particular breweries that was very damaged. And mm-hmm. we want to let people know how they can help.
Yeah, yeah. I guess what we should start with the particulars. This is the 2024 Noto Peninsula earthquake. And it's, as you've pointed out, it was like New Year's Day. So it's freshly minted 2024 at that. A quake struck that was 7.5 on the Richter scale. That is, as you guys may or may not know, the Richter scale is actually like an exponential scale. It's not a 7 isn't one more than 6. It's actually several orders of magnitude more than 6. It's a lot. And it struck about 7 kilometers. That's 4.3 miles for our American listeners. That's most of us. North-northwest of Suzu, which is on the Noto Peninsula of Ishikawa Prefecture.
Yeah, and there were a few towns in particular that were affected by this. Wajima, Suzu, and Anamizu. Those three towns were affected by the earthquake in particular. Wajima is really well known for lacquerware, and it's really well known for sake breweries. And the sake we're going to taste today is actually one from Wajima. So they're really in the crosshairs of this horrible earthquake. There have been about 238 fatalities reported so far in Ishikawa, and over 1,300 people were injured so far. And it is every few years, it seems like there's an earthquake that reaches up to this magnitude in Japan. They're incredibly well prepared to deal with this, but even the best countermeasures still result in fatalities and destruction of buildings every few years. So it's a fact of reality in Japan.
Yeah, I think this is the worst quake since the 2016 earthquake over in Kumamoto. That was insane. I was actually in Japan during that. I was in Tokyo, so quite far away, but it was all over the news, and a lot of people were very stunned and shocked seeing it all happening in real time. It was very crazy.
And I looked up online some information about, for the sake industry in particular, for the regions surrounding Ishikawa, how many breweries were affected out of the total number of breweries. So why don't we go through some of those regions, and we can talk about what the damage level is for those particular regions. This is information that I got from the Taste Translation website, which is a project of Arlene Lyons in Switzerland. And she does a great job translating Japanese sake news into English for the rest of us. So we're always so grateful to Arlene for her support. Yes. So this information comes from her website. And why don't we start with Ground Zero? Why don't we start with Ishikawa?
Yeah. This language is purely about the breweries, right?
Yeah, this is about
So it looks out of the 33 breweries over in Ishikawa, 24 of them reported damage. That's a lot. And 8 cases of destruction, which they're showing as like breweries or offices, homes, stores, et cetera. 2 cases of severe damage, no human casualties at the breweries, which is a mercy. The 10 sake breweries that are actually on the peninsula will not be able to produce or distribute sake for a while. They need to rebuild quite a bit, considerably. The note about all this, though, is that the full assessment of knowing how bad the damage is actually hindered because there's evacuations, there's the roads that are destroyed that people can't get to places to find out how bad they are. You know, this is something that even a month out is going to start. We're still going to be hearing things and peeling back the onion, so to speak.
Yeah, and if you remember my story about going to the Noto Peninsula when I visited Sogen Brewery, I did hear that Sogen had landslide damage. So it wasn't destroyed by the earthquake itself, but there was landslides that affected several of the brewery buildings. So they're also out of commission for this brewing year for sure. Getting there, it's a narrow peninsula that juts out into the Sea of Japan. And if several roads are disrupted or broken apart, getting aid further into the peninsula is very difficult. So I think the full extent of the damage is just now slowly being reported and being uncovered even several weeks later. Mm. So that's a quick overview of what happened in Ishikawa.
But it doesn't stop there. There's also breweries in Toyama that were damaged, breweries in Fukui, and in Niigata. Niigata has a lot of breweries, Tim, if I'm not mistaken. Something like almost 90, if I'm remembering right. 29 suffered damage. So people forget that Niigata's right over there also. And it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. For this is an industry that has been going through some hard times and that is near and dear to all of our hearts here listening. And here we are with a lot of setbacks for a lot of breweries.
Yeah, and there's also one report from Nagano Prefecture of one brewery out of the 80 has reported damage. But the one saving grace in all of this is that none of the sake breweries reported any loss of life from the destruction. So that is a blessing for sure.
Yes, but, very much so.
Yeah, but with even the breweries that their buildings survived relatively intact or didn't collapse completely in the Ishikawa region, their existing store of bottles was often destroyed.
Yes.
And then their ability to finish any type of brewing this year is not possible. So we really have our thoughts with all the brewing community, all the industry people in Ishikawa and the surrounding prefectures that were affected.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a moment now and we're going to introduce the sake we're going to be sipping today. And Tim, as you mentioned earlier, this is from the region. And you want to go ahead and introduce this one?
Yeah. We wanted to find a sake to taste on the show today to honor one of the breweries that is undergoing a big struggle. They're not going to be able to brew this year and maybe even not next year as they work towards rebuilding. But there are a number of breweries that have products on the market now in the States, and we wanted to pick one and focus on one brewery in particular as a representative for the breweries that are all struggling with producing this year. And the brewery we came up with was Hakuto Shuzo. Mm-hmm. They are located in Wajima, Ishikawa, and their brand is Hakuto, which is translated as deep faith, which is something we all need right now to deal with this horrible situation with the earthquake aftermath. This brewery was founded in 1722 And it is a family-run business. The current owners are husband and wife team Kiichi mm-hmm. and Akiko Hakuto. They actually met at the Tokyo University of Agriculture, where they were both studying fermentation science. And Kiichi is the ninth generation of his family to carry on the tradition of brewing sake. So this is a family-run business, many, many generations. Mm-hmm. And this couple was well known for their dedication to promoting sake, and they are relatively young and vibrant, and I think they will be up to the challenge to rebuilding. It's a long road ahead, and of course, we want to send them our best wishes and any support we can. But let's look at the sake that they've been exporting. The exporter is Johto Sake, and mm-hmm. let's take a look at the stats for the sake we're going to taste today.
Sure thing, Tim. We've got Hakuto's Tokubetsu Junmai. As you mentioned, the Hakuto name, Deep Faith, is the English translation they're using. The rice variety on this sake is both Yamada Nishiki and Gohyaku Mangoku. The rice has been polished down to 55% of its original size. The yeast that's in effect today is number 14, which is apparently Kanazawa yeast, association number 14, I should specify. The sake meter value from that measure of dry to sweet is plus 2. The acidity is 1.6, and the alcohol percentage is 15 even.
All right. Yeah, so this is their Tokubetsu Junmai, and it's a well-known sake, and Johto has been distributing this. They're a well-known distributor from small family-run breweries, and they put a message up on Instagram mm-hmm. that this was a few days after the earthquake, and they were just acknowledging that Hakuto and another brand that Hakuto makes is called Shiragiku. So mm-hmm. the Instagram handle for this brewery is Hakuto_Shiragiku. And the brewers have actually posted a few short videos to their Instagram showing the damage, showing them recovering the sign that was had their brand name on it from the front of their building. And Johto was happy to report that the family and staff are all safe and physically well, but the brewery building itself suffered substantial damage, and uncertain water and power supply, which of course makes it impossible to get back to brewing. You know, one thing that I've known from a lot of the distributors is that they have deep personal relationships with the families that make the sake that they sell. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a contractual relationship where they ship back and forth and they don't know each other. They visit each other often. They work together to promote their sake. And I know the people at Johto are close, personally close to the Hakuto family. It is just great to see them, their concern for them and their support for them. And I know that for any of the breweries that they distribute, that they'll be there to do whatever they can to help them get back on their feet.
Oh, yes. Yes. I hope so. So additionally, there is a message here from Hakuto as well, from the brewery themselves. According to their messaging, it looks like their store, their office, the residential area. So there's housing around these brewers very often. So
that's their house is actually attached to their house. The brewery.
Their warehouse for storage, their commercial refrigeration buildings where they store sake as well. They've all collapsed. The walls are fully damaged. They're saying major damage to the equipment, major damage to the tanks, the washing machines, the pouring machines, everything they use to make sake on a day-to-day basis has been damaged. They didn't have water at the time of this post. They have a partial power outage and no word on when it's going to be restored. Keep in mind, everybody, that in situations like this with an earthquake, you also have a danger of aftershocks. So you can't always, you know, the emergency services can't always jump right in and bring services fully back online because it could cause more damage during aftershocks. Brewing for this year has been canceled. They end it by saying, kind of rest assured that they will be okay. Little by little, they're going to move forward and they're going to be safe. And that's the gist of what they had posted. And it gives you an idea of what's going on over there. It's just that this is an incredible amount of damage. And And the livelihood that these people depend on every year is gone for the year. No, they will not sell any sake. That's
yeah.
it. That's terrifying if that's what you do to survive, to make money. And you have a family and employees that depend on you.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah. And John, I think it's just a little bit overwhelming if you stop and think about this particular case multiplied not only across the sake industry, mm-hmm. but across all industries. If you run a dog kennel or a dentist office or whatever in this region, your industries have been affected too. So it's literally overwhelming to think about all these different industries that are affected. But one thing that helps me to take action and get focus is to look at the industry that directly affects something we care about so deeply and try to help in any way we can there. Mm-hmm. Versus just feeling overwhelmed and becoming incapacitated.
Yeah, Tim, that's a really great way to put it. I've been trying to digest this and thinking about how we're presenting this. And obviously our focus is on this industry. As you pointed out, this is something that's happening across everything over there. But it just happens that we are focused on sake because that's what we do. That's why our focus is there. Yeah. So with that said, we're going to have a sip of that Hakuto Tokubetsu Junmai that we spoke about, like we normally do, because, you know, this is still Sake Revolution.
Yeah, and we want to honor the sake that they've made. We won't be able to get it. We won't be able to get it for 1 or maybe 2 years. Yeah. So while it's still available here, we want to make sure that we're supporting them. And so we were able to get our hands on Hakuto Tokubetsu Junmai. So let's get this in the glass and we can give it a taste and give it a description.
Sounds great. All right. So we've got that in the glass, and it is clear and just a touch off-white, I want to say. And I don't know about you, but I see tiny bits of particulate or bubbles, I'm not sure, in mine. What are you seeing?
I see like a hint of yellow color.
Very
similar. The Tokubetsu Junmai. And yeah, this looks interesting. So let's bring it to the nose and give it a smell.
Mm. So that's, what is that? Almost like licorice, almost on the nose?
A bit like baking spices. And there's a aroma note on the bottle here. It says, smells like maple syrup. A little bit. But there's,
I can see where they're coming from, but I'm going to agree to disagree on that a little bit.
Yeah, I like the kind of the idea of baking spices. If you think about cinnamon or allspice, there's a warming, if you smell an apple pie or something like that, you get that mm-hmm. baking spice aroma. There's a little bit of that.
Let's have a sip then.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's nice.
There's a real depth here. There's a little bit of creaminess, a little bit of rice, and overall dry but soft.
And
still warming.
You immediately point out that there's a lot of depth, and the English translation for the name is deep faith.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is nice. And it is, yeah, there is that. My favorite thing about tasting this is the creaminess that you pointed out. That's the way it feels in the mouth and on the palate is lovely.
It's definitely a Junmai. It has that a little bit of like a rice pudding character to it. But it has that warming sensation again. Not that it tastes like overtly like cinnamon, but there's just that baked apple pie, warm, cozy feeling to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. That's a good way to put it. I like that. It does taste cozy.
Yes,
it is. It's comforting. Also, it's very. I think that this would actually be really. This would have a nice time being. I don't know about warmed up a little bit, but perhaps, but definitely room temperature. I want to have this a little bit. It's a touch warmer.
I vote for warm. Why not?
You vote for. You want to go all in. I'm very trepidatious about my sake warming, but I am warming up to the concept of room temperature as a normal thing to do at home. So,
thanks for bringing a dad joke to this serious episode,
Tim. You haven't done a pun in a while, so I had to do something. Yep. I had to bring it.
This is a delicious sake. it's something that I would want to drink, especially in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. I think warmed up would be great, as I just said. And yeah. I'd also love to have this with warm dishes, like a stew. Like if I had a winter stew, chicken stew, and this would, I think, would be off the charts delicious. It does have, when you say it's like warm and creamy and junmai, I also want to emphasize that this is also like uses a very light touch. So it's not heavy at all. It's very light and almost a little bit airy, but it has that warming sensation, a little bit of that creamy texture, and it really brings the rice characteristic forward. So if you're a lover of rice forward sakes, but like things a little on the lighter side, not too heavy or overbearing, I think this would be right up your alley.
Yeah, this is definitely not in the realm of crazy style.
No.
No, it is. You point out it tastes very junmai.
Yeah.
I'm with 100% there.
Do you have any thoughts on what you might pair with the sake like this?
I can't get the stew idea out of my head now. However, I think that I did have some not spicy at all, but more of a earthy, like a chicken chili recently. And that's giving me, I'm getting some thoughts about that. I think that would go pretty well here. And now I'm hungry. You see how this goes?
Yeah. Well, you can taste in this sake that for me, it feels like something that's handcrafted and it has the nuance and the attention to detail that you can tell that the brewers labored over this and made something special. So our thoughts and really good wishes go out to the Hakuto family, and we're so happy to be able to taste their sake, and we will have another episode when their next batch from their rebuilt brewery comes back on the market. And
absolutely. I bet if you are listening and hearing about all this, you might be wondering what you can do to help. And believe it or not, there are things you can do.
Yes. So as we mentioned before, it can be overwhelming if you think about damage across the entire prefecture and how this story has fallen out of the news. But if you've listened to this episode and you're looking for a way to support Ishikawa, support these brewers, so our suggestion here is to visit our website, sakerevolution.com, look at the show notes for this episode, and we'll list several options for sending support to Japan.
Yes. We often say you should check the show notes, but this one, this is really where the meat is on this one. Definitely go there and check the show notes and find out what you can do to help.
John, this has been a little bit more of a serious episode for us.
Yeah.
Not our usual laugh fest, but we just knew we had to talk about this situation for the sake industry in Ishikawa and the surrounding prefectures. We hope that any listener who's interested in helping will visit our show notes and look at the different options for supporting the brewers. Anything that you can contribute will be greatly appreciated. And as we get more information, we will continue to report and let you know how the recovery efforts are going. I'm sure we'll get updates in the future down the line and bring you whatever good news we can. John, it was so wonderful to connect with you again. Always so nice to record with you. And I really enjoyed tasting this Hakuto together. It was very special to enjoy this sake together while we're thinking about and sending our best wishes to all the brewers in Ishikawa. I want to thank our listeners, of course, for tuning in. Thank you in advance for all the support that you give to Ishikawa. And I want to thank our patrons as well, as always, for your support of our show. Without your support, we couldn't bring you Sake Revolution. So much appreciated.
Yeah. And one last time, as Tim mentioned, if you go over to the show notes at our website, sakerevolution.com, you'll find information about various fundraising efforts to help support the breweries in the Noto Peninsula. On that note, please raise a glass and remember to keep drinking sake. And
kanpai.